The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Little Bits, the easy-to-use electronic building blocks. Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Mr. Mackey. Who else is here with me today?
Chief Starving Bear, Chris Antista.
Crunchy the Clown, Henry Gilbert.
I am so Crunchy the Clown. And this episode is Camp Krusty, which aired on September 24th, 1992. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in Simpsons history?
The Kentucky Supreme Court finally rules its anti-sodomy laws are unconstitutional. Pearl Jam's 10 is on top of the music charts. And John Kay is fired from Ren and Stimpy, the Nickelodeon show.
Wow, that finally happened. Look up the creator's fired episode of Laser Time if you want to hear the whole story. Me rambling for about 20 minutes about what happened.
Well,
it's very
book,
complicated.
Sick Little Monkeys, it ties in well with Simpsons fandom. It really does. It's both of their animated legacies started around the same time.
It aligns very well with it.
Yeah, so much great animation stuff happening on TV in the early 90s that would kind of make what we watch now what it is today, I think.
Also, it would be like 11 more years before that sodomy law would be struck down nationally.
It's one of those things I like to point out to angry progressives, because I encounter them more than I do Republicans, is that progress, so much progress has happened, and we don't even notice.
It's easy to forget.
Yeah, for sure. That the idea that... This still wasn't the end of the anti-sodomy law in Kentucky. It wasn't. Yeah. Like, you couldn't butt-fuck in America.
Not with a witness nearby.
Up until, like, the last, like 10 years ago, they finally
But it was one of those things you just enforced to fuck over marginalized people.
Yeah.
Only when you
there was a story
like
from 10 years ago, like, the police went to the wrong house, went in, two guys are fucking... And they're breaking the law.
Yes, that was in Texas, and that was the one that went to the Supreme Court and ended it. Which Colbert had a great joke about this when it happened, which was that
it's an uncensored show, by the way.
That it was a great judgment, but it was also that when the Supreme Court reminded them that it was sodomy, they're like, "It is legal now, but it's also sodomy."
What a perfect way to kick off the fourth season of Talking
Welcome
Simpsons.
Welcome to season four.
It's all about sodomy, people. And this is the first film Roman season, but this is the last Klasky Chupa episode, not the last one we'll see, the last one produced.
This is what happens every season, and we're going to have it every time we start a season, which is this is. The production season 3 holdover episodes into season 4.
Exactly.
The same will happen in season 5, season 6, season 7, all these ones that were... that's why some people think of the Armin Tamzarian episode, they miscredit it to Mike Scully as like, oh, Mike Scully ruined the show from the very beginning of a season. Nope. Like, no, that was the last season 8 episode.
So here's my theory. Mm-hmm. I feel like the producers thought there would be no holdovers this year because this is a summer vacation episode that aired at the end of September.
Yes.
Which was kind of a bummer for me as a kid watching this. Like, what? You're talking about summer vacation? I just started school a month ago.
I knew the factoid about the production order for the next episode we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah.
This seems way better than... This seems like a great opening to season 4. The show is so funny every single fucking second.
It's weird this is the last production 3 because at this point they should be so tired that nothing matters and all jokes kind of like are just whatever we can write. But it fires on all cylinders.
They said Camp Krusty, this episode, was supposed to be the first Simpsons movie and they couldn't find enough things to pad.
Well, when James L. Brooks saw it, he apparently said to them, like, this should be the movie.
Yeah.
And then Al Jean's response was
talk about stakes, camp.
This can barely fill a 22-minute
episode. But if they were working on this to make a 90-minute movie, This thing pops every 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, with something great.
I think the story was, like Henry said, James L. Brooks saw it, and they were like, okay, number one, we need an episode mm-hmm. that can air for the premiere. Number two, we can't make 20 minutes of animation with this. Like, where will the movie come from? But I think if they sat down and they didn't have to produce an entire season, this could have been a movie.
And that is also, that way of thinking is what prevented one recent-ish episode from not airing for 2 years, because they thought, this is the sequel to the Simpsons movie.
Oh,
let's expand this into a whole episode.
I'm so glad that did not become the next movie.
I mean,
dear
I'm
God.
Pissed that there was ever a canonical appearance of Kang and Kodos.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Boo.
For a really bad joke.
Boo.
And a really bad
but there was
bad
a lot episode. Of good things about that season, too.
But this episode and the season six premiere, mm-hmm. which was also a holdover from season five that was meant to air before mm-hmm. the summer, I liked watching both of those as a kid, because it felt like I was catching up with what The Simpsons did all summer. Now that my summer was over, it was like, okay,
Part of darkness.
How was yours? Like, well, we got a pool, or they went to mm-hmm. the camp. Like,
and we're kids when we're watching this, and I just did want to say about 60% of all my dreams are set at summer camp.
Oh, wow.
I don't really want to know what that means, but you're free to tell me your interpretation.
I'm sure we'll get into this, but did any of us go to summer camp?
Yes.
No.
A ton.
I went to day camps that were just like, leave your kids here because mm-hmm. they'll kill themselves at home. And I really hated the day camps, especially the summer I spent at the YMCA day camp.
That was
the cheapest
the free camp.
One.
Ours
or
was free.
And it's where the, like, look, I'll just say kids from bad homes who would then would then bring their hurt on to other kids. maybe nerdy kids who wanted to read comic books at camp.
It's a lot like Camp Krusty, actually.
I have fond nerdy memories of my YMCA camp, because it would have been like the late 80s, and some moron donated every Star Wars thing ever and just dumped it in this giant YMCA sandbox. So, like, I remember making full Death Star runs, like, there were licensed pieces of, like, that looked like the middle of the Death Star, and I dig trenches and run the planes. Wow. I had a great time.
You're so spoiled, Chris.
Yeah. This is a free camp. It was a charity.
Free, wow.
It's a YMCA.
It would be the summer of 93, the summer after this one.
My parents hated paying for
that
camp.
I went to the YMCA day camp, and that is the summer I truly became a mega comic nerd and, like, brought my trade paperbacks there and read through them. And, like, there was I bet now he was maybe like 19, a counselor there who was just super into Spawn, and he'd let me read the Spawn comics.
Oh, wow.
And we'd all just talk about, like, comics are so cool.
I love telling
never
the story.
Gonna be bad.
I did go to sleepaway camp a lot, including ones.
How many murders?
Oh, this wasn't
a murder
story.
It wasn't a murder. I just remember it. So we get in. This guy's name is Doug. I have a picture of me standing with him. I feel like I should put it online. And he's
to
just
give
like
to the police.
How many consecutive life sentences, Chris?
He just said, look. This is how I roll. Every single summer, I pick someone who's going to be my favorite camper, and I'm gonna give them priority, and I'm gonna give them special treatment, and they're gonna sleep with me, and that's the way it's gonna be. And oh, everybody's like, oh, I hope it's me, and then
I want to be groomed.
He's like, and I choose Rob, so he would come home. He would like come in, and like give him Pizza Hut pizza, and we're in the middle of the woods, and give him like Pizza Hut pizza, and he'd sleep in his bed.
So he was brought to justice, right? Or is this?
I'm guessing
still
never.
On the lam?
I think that's like my one foot in like the fucking 70s or 60s, where like no one was talking about it.
I guess my story has less trauma. I just came from a working class family. I was a latchkey kid from the point it was probably illegal. Like, I should not be 7 years old and by myself. Mm-hmm. But it was like, no, camp's expensive. You can just stay home and watch TV and play video games. And I was like, cool, I'll do that.
I have a ton of camp stories. I've told them a ton of times on Laser Time. I got into.
I mean, there's a camp episode of Laser Time.
Yeah, I got into a camp in the Everglades, like a sleepaway camp in the Everglades, and I got in because my dad worked at the Department of Fish and Wildlife for Florida, and he got me in at the last minute by pulling strings, and I don't think he paid because we didn't really pay for things as a family. But what they had to do is I was 8 years old, and they put me in a bunk with all 12-year-olds. So I get in, and I'm like, I'm going to go to camp. And then we're going to stop at McDonald's. I'm going to get Garfield toys. They gave me an extra Garfield toy. And I get in there, and I'm like, guys, Garfield toys. And like, fuck you, faggot. And like instantly ostracized and made to cry every single second for an entire week. And I remember crying, and I couldn't tell, because everybody's like, why won't you stop crying? Why won't you stop crying? And like, because I miss. And I wouldn't want to say like everybody's being mean to me and like being real, like really cruel to me. So I said, it's because I miss my Nintendo. And of course, that got then manufactured in this ammunition to use against me further.
Normal was a girl, but I know the truth.
I got called. I was gay for Garfield, then I was gay for Mario. The 80s, they were great times, people.
Yeah.
Again, progress, slow. I felt it. We're living it now.
It's great to not be called gay for liking video games anymore. So thank you.
So this episode, I forgot, started with a dream sequence. And there's like a moment where I was like, what the hell?
Do you want me to play it? Like, it's.
Yeah.
The last day of school.
Yay!
Here are your grades.
Oh no, Mrs. Krabappel. If I don't get a C average, my dad won't let me go to Camp Krusty.
Well, it isn't fair to the other children. But all right.
Much obliged, doll.
Slaps her ass.
So
oh,
great.
Bart Simpson, I'm gonna miss you.
Attention, everyone. This is Principal Skinner. I trust you all remembered to bring in your implements of destruction. Now let's trash this dump.
I love that. School's out for summer plays.
This captures the perfect Life in Hell contempt for school.
Yeah.
As seen in the pages of Life in Hell. And I feel like wanting to destroy your school did not have the baggage it did pre-Columbine. I feel like we all had fantasies about blowing up our school and like leaving our school, burning our school down.
And I'll say this, and I'm officially going to do something about it. Growing up in the 80s, I watch cartoons now, Saturday morning cartoons, meant for children. I don't care what you think. I do that now. Advertisements are not the same. In the 80s, I remember Nickelodeon would play Schools Out for Summer, the Alice Cooper song that's played in this very sequence, and show kids like standing on top of their school and throwing shit out every summer, because every commercial posed like, do this, don't do that. I'm a stuffy teacher and I hate bubble tape. Fuck you, guitar! Yeah!
You can't handle gum and tape form, bitch.
I'm watching a Bonkers ad, which is just about old people being crushed by awesome candy.
Yeah.
And like you don't... It doesn't happen now, but like the marketing and the attitude of the 80s very much fostered an like just anti-adult kind of a
it was a lot of anti well it was like anti-authority but in the form of like anti-adult, like that classic commercial for Sonic the Hedgehog where the frumpy old librarian's like, why can't he be more like that nice Mario boy?
Like that I'm telling you, I watch all these advertisements like a hawk. This does not exist anymore. But it did. Like I think it's unhealthy. I grew up with a big disrespect from authority that was partially Coca-Cola's fault. That's
crazy.
Are we
past the kid power era of entertainment?
Cooper is so fucking rich from that song. He gets licensed in everything.
Not Feed My Frankenstein?
They joke in the commentary that they've dreamed of, after they saw how rich Alice Cooper was getting from it, that they wanted to write a song called School's Out for Christmas. And they're like, if this could be a hit, we'll be rich forever. It'll be licensed and everything.
Somebody fucking should. And I think I'm going to get on that right goddamn now.
School's Out for Christmas.
This
might have
been
Christmas.
Where all their music licensing budget went. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, I mean, this episode really captures the anticipation for summer, the love of summer, the hatred of school. Like, I felt this as a kid. I really identified with The Simpsons because they're like, school does suck, and I'm good to be looking forward to summer.
And I think that's where the dreams come from. We're regarding summer like a reprieve. So not only when you become an adult, there is no summer. There is no break. There is no moment of respite from this life you call adulthood.
Homework every day until you die.
And if you work from home, like yours truly, it's even worse. It blends into night.
Even go home.
That's right.
And I did love Bart's little happy singing when he wakes up, because he's smashing the school with a wrecking ball, and then when he's
moving
he
the levers,
cuts to him singing in his sleep, like la 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 la, it's just really sweet. And then then they get around the dinner table or the breakfast table, and I love Homer's pronouncement of, when you're 18, you're out the door.
In this, in all the episodes, the Homer and Bart eating, there's perps everywhere.
Yeah. But they're not. Are they eating piles of slop still? Purple piles of like slop.
I think it was a real meal. I know in the Herb episode right before
this
one.
There's a good description from Otto about summer.
All right, 3 old months of SpaghettiOs a day. my TV.
Why is that what I do now?
You guys like the joke about Bart having the women's measurements as his locker combination?
It seemed oddly sexual.
I didn't get that at all. You're telling me now.
It's another of my mom explained it to me as a kid one. But yeah, 36, Whoa. 24, 36.
Oh my God.
They're so, the ideal measurements circa 1950 or whatever.
They're 50s hourglass measurements.
It's a great Violent Femmes song, by the way.
A Marilyn Monroe type who now would be called fat.
36 oh, yeah, for inch sure. long
Marilyn Monroe
legs.
Be Rebel Wilson right
yes.
now.
Yes, yeah. How dare she be so fat?
But this is all built around Camp Krusty. Let me just burn this clip off.
Oh, wow, Jesus.
Homer, you do remember your promise to the children.
Sure do. When you're 18, you're out the door.
No, Dad. You promised if Bart and I got C averages, we could go to Camp Krusty. And with no false modesty, you're looking at one happy camper.
Yeah, well, just remember, when you see my report card, they got this whole new grading system this year. It now goes DBAC.
Now listen, boy, we have an understanding, and you'd better keep your end of it. I don't think I'd be any kind of a father if you got D's and I let you go to Camp Krusty.
But, Dad...
Son, if you really want something in this life, you have to work for it. Now, quiet. They're about to announce a lottery number.
17.
We just saw the lottery in season 3 in Dog of Death, right?
Yeah, he did not learn from his lottery thing. For a second, I thought it would have been so funny if it had been the same numbers as the previous lottery, but it was not.
It only had one additional joke of him cheering for the one number
that doesn't matter. Yeah,
like three wrong numbers deep.
So when Hoover hands out the grades to Lisa, she freaks out about it. Yeah. Oh, we got
How
that?
Could this have happened? I feel so dirty.
Lisa got a B.
The dirt's not coming off. Okay, calm down. This must just be a little typo. Oh, Miss Hoover, there appears to be a mistake on my report card. You gave me a B+ in conduct.
Now, Lisa, everyone needs a blotch on their permanent record.
Perhaps I'm not making myself clear. I think you should reconsider.
Lisa, you're hurting me.
That slap sound was her slapping Hoover's hand.
Hoover is great there, and also right before when she says, like, I have nothing left to say to you, so let's just silently run out the clock. Though that does imply in both cases, like, Bart and Lisa have now graduated their grades.
Yeah.
They should not be coming back to fourth and second
Bart
grade.
Bart has graduated the fourth grade twice at this point, within the series.
And he does it at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and in summer 4'2", he graduates as well. But and then also the B+ in conduct is pretty good for Lisa told Hoover to shove it.
Yeah.
She told her to shove it this season.
She was a bad girl for an episode. I think she deserved that B+.
Yeah, so Lisa should chill out.
I want to know more about this teacher. This is almost my line of the show for this.
Wait a minute. You didn't learn how World War II ended. We won!
Oh, good. Yes, kids running out of school for summer.
One episode earlier, we had heard Powell chanting USA.
This is true. If you don't count the Patreon wrap-up episode that we have up. Yeah.
Please.
When they're on
Cannot
the bus...
I believe I forgot to mention that again.
When they're on the bus coming home, they do this joke twice, but I think it's great twice of... They get mad at Bart for not coming up with a plausible lie. He's like, that it has to be A. He's like, come on. Like, you had to think of something believable. And the way Homer said...
You can't blame him because this is how awesome the camp sounds.
Camp Krusty is built on an actual Indian burial ground. We got archery, wallet making, the whole Megillah. And for you fat kids, my exclusive program of diet and ridicule will really get results. And the best part is, when you come to Camp Krusty, you'll spend the summer with me on East Indian.
I was really hoping one of you would come to the table with some knowledge of fat camp. I read Jelly Belly. It was one of my favorite books.
That was once a thing, I think, before child abuse laws were stricter.
I mean, they still exist. They're just nicer about it. Kids are sent to camp to lose weight because you can control what they eat. Like, that's what.
Yeah, but every camp can do that.
Yeah, but then again, they also, in heavyweights, I bet it's not just heavyweights. It brings in the sneaks in the candy and shit.
I like how hard Krusty hits fat, like for all you fat kids.
Yeah.
Fat
kid. Well, they, it's a running series of jokes in the episode that we don't have a lot of clips of, but they're fucking hilarious.
A great joke I didn't even remember from it was in the beginning, the bear pushing the girl in the swing.
Oh, right.
The beginning of that is so great.
I forgot about that.
But I did want to, like, it now is probably going to be taboo because you liberal pussies. To like so heavily steep a camp in an Indian theme, and that is what all the sleepaway camps I went to
it's
were
what they
themed
always
after.
Were, yeah.
Yeah, you had tribal names for your bunks, and you did.
Like, do you mind if we kill you and borrow your culture?
You
for
did
children?
Phony, and God, and it's weird. We would like pray to the spirits and create a fire, and then I went to this camp so long, I eventually became a counselor, and I think I had some creepy reason I wanted to mention this. I was a counselor one year, and a girl who was 6 months younger than me was a camper, and some weird stuff happened.
That is weird. That's
like practically illegal. We would pray to the gods, and a fire would start up. And then eventually I learned when I became a counselor that was brake fuel poured on pool cleaning supplies that
like
will
the ancient Indians.
It will ignite in exactly 45 seconds. So when you get a crowd cheering, there was a little mechanism. It was kind of ingenious that went all the way underground in a little pipe, and you pull a little string, and it dumps the brake fluid onto the pool cleaning product.
Amazing!
And in exactly like 55 seconds, a fire will erupt.
Wow!
So the Homer with the push, Homer got rid of his push mower. He finally has a real mower.
Yeah, this is a great. This is every
this whole sequence.
Running over debris.
Yes.
Here's my report card. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Hey, Plush. You don't think much of me, do you, boy?
Mm-hmm. No, sir.
You know, a D turns into a B so easily. You just got greedy.
Well, so I won't get to go to camp?
Now, Bart, we made this deal because I thought it would help you get good grades. And you didn't. But why should you pay for my mistake?
You mean I can go?
Yeah. I didn't want you hanging around all summer anyway.
Oh, Dad, you're the best father a boy could ever have.
Hey, son. Now, you've got little hands. Can you reach under that mower and pull out that skate?
We would see this Homer more in Itchy and Scratchy the movie, the lax parenting Homer like, oh, boy, go ahead.
I guess if you're saying this is part of season 3's production cycle, but that one of my favorite lines from the third season was like, and let's quit and watch TV. What's on it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Setting a bad example.
This episode is one of my worst recording jobs I did in the history of being the record master of our Simpsons family tape.
Oh, because you're cutting on the commercials?
I missed him say, now reach, like on my tape, it was always, hey, could you reach under the, and then it went the next thing.
Henry.
And then the other one, joke. When the second break too, it ended when the roof came off the thing. There was never the next line.
Like, again, I had too much anxiety to cut out the commercials. I was like, I don't want to miss a second of this. I'll take your country car.
And meanwhile,
I had the commercials now.
Meanwhile, Fox has scrubbed like all residue of The Simpsons from YouTube altogether. So I literally will disappear into the commercial breaks from The Simpsons. Can I play the clip of Martin going to fat camp?
Yes.
We'll see you when you get back from Image Enhancement Camp.
Spare me your euphemisms. It's fat camp for Daddy's chubby little secret.
You promised you wouldn't make a scene.
That's the first time we hear Martin's dad. Again, it's an adult doing an impression of the child character.
Martin.
So good. Like Milhouse. Much like Milhouse. Ah!
As a kid, I did not get Leaves of Four, Eat Some More.
Yeah.
Homer
That's
said.
Marijuana, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I was looking to you for that one.
I'll put down my bong for a second.
Goodbye, my special little guy. Lisa, watch out for poison ivy. Remember, leaves of three, let it be.
Leaves of four, eat some more.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
I miss you every day. Don't look in my closet. In fact, stay out of my room altogether.
If the pets die, don't replace them. I'll know.
And I love that I didn't get the sound, but there's the woman like, the kids are gone. Thank God!
Don't come back.
They
all get out champagne,
I mean, as a kid, that was still eye-opening to me of like, well, do parents not want us around?
I'm a burden,
We just talked about what we were learning about taking care of babies, like getting them to shut up and not be part of your problem.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Hello, Talking Simpsons listeners. Unky Herb is really onto something, don't you think? That baby translator? Who knows how that's going to pan out? That could change the world. Do you have an inventor in your life? good, because this episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Little Bits. You know what Little Bits are? Little Bits are the easy-to-use, color-coded magnetic blocks that are basically like Legos that come to life in the form of inventions. Do you have a little inventor in your life? A DIYer, musician? Do you like Legos and wish they did more? Then maybe you could give Little Bits a try, and I'm only mentioning that because Little Bits has an offer just for Talking Simpsons listeners. You can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order. You can get started with a base kit and like Legos, just continue adding components at your leisure. You can build robots, bubble blowers, pinball games, and it's kind of only limited to what you can think of. There's a kid on the website who made a keyboard out of a banana. Little Bits has received rewards from parent groups and tech places like Popular Mechanics, and guess what? They also have further discounts for educators who want to put them in their classroom. So if you have someone in your life who you think might like Little Bits, maybe you should give it a shot. Little Bits' mission is to empower the next generation to have creative confidence and curiosity to ask why and build their own stuff, the unky herbs in our life. And once again, Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Here's the dumb thing that happened to me this week. I've been going on long bike rides, and I only have these hipster slim pants, not skinny jeans, slim jeans from Old Navy, so I don't get my pants caught in my bike chain. It really hurts to go on 30-mile bike rides in denim, and Heidi bought me a pair of bicycle shorts with gel-based crotch area, and like when I took those off after wearing them all day, Heidi kicked me in the ass, and it felt like somebody shoved... All the sweat had pooled inside that area, and it was so sensitive. It felt like somebody was trying to fuck me. It was a sensation I have never felt before. My ass was so sticky and sensitive.
Then you're like, kick me again, please.
Yeah. God, don't stop. Don't stop until you can't see your knee. Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
So the Mr. Black thing.
Okay, thank you.
This is Mr. Black.
Not only line of the show.
That's the joke.
A character I wish would come back, and also, like I said before, shorthand. I think we all use that for shorthand.
Yes. It's a great, like, boring evil character. It's like his evilness is very bland and nondescript.
We use it shorthand for a boring evil character for, like...
Edited dialogue
ADR. And an impromptu replacement or a meaningless replacement.
Yeah. A corporation patronizing people. Like, yeah, fuck you.
I love Mr. Black.
Hey, kids! Welcome to Camp Krusty! I'll see you in a few weeks. Until then... I've turned things over to my bestest buddy in the whole wide world.
Mr. Black.
I want you to treat...
Mr. Black.
...with the same respect you would give me. Now here's...
Mr. Black. Thank you, Krusty, and welcome, children. I am Mr. Black, your head counselor. For the past 15 years, I was president of Euro Krusty Land.
God, another joke about Euro Krusty... Euro Disneyland.
Is that different than Euro Itchy and Scratchy Land?
Yeah. My children need wine! So, Krusty really takes a beating in this episode.
Yeah.
I would say up until this, like, they'd have some... Krusty was an old-time performer who didn't really love kids, but they had some heart to him in his other appearances, like in Father Like Cloud. In this one, he becomes the Krusty I think we know much more, who is a heartless, entertaining,
self-centered,
like self-centered businessman who doesn't give a shit about anything but money.
When watching this episode, I'm using my pre-existing knowledge of other appearances of Krusty the Clown, but this had not happened before.
Not really. No, I mean, he was kind of heartless at the start when he's like he wouldn't go to Bart's he wouldn't have dinner at the Simpsons house.
There were shades of that and of the bad products in like Father Like Clown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it still was, it had some love for Krusty. And this Krusty's just like awful.
But that's what's so great about Krusty, because I can't imagine he was started to be a surrogate for every single kind of celebrity horrible trait. And then he just embodies that, but he's still a fucking clown in a purple shirt.
An outdated kind of entertainment.
Yes, it's awesome.
So, I love Mr. Black, though. I love his design, his voice, all of his lines, and he only shows up in this episode, as far as I know.
Yeah, and just this line alone could have gotten line of the show.
Yo, Mr. Black, another brandy.
Gentlemen, to evil.
It's just he's a Bond villain. He's a Bond villain in the show.
But he's drawn as a boring guy. He's a very boring, like, hello, everybody, I'm Mr. Black.
And that's how the real evil people show up. They're middle management. They're innocuous.
The banality of evil is what Mr. Black is.
So did you know the reference that Krusty going to Wimbledon is?
No.
I knew, but I'm a commentary nerd tender.
It is a Johnny Carson reference that he would often go to Wimbledon. Johnny Carson is a tennis lover. He'll play tennis with Krusty by the end of this season.
What a fucking weirdo.
And he would go to Wimbledon during the season. He actually, like, there was one season where of The Tonight Show, where he held out for more money and in protest just, like, appeared at Wimbledon.
Wow.
And
this was the era where he was not hosting his show for, like, 60% of the year, though.
Yeah. But so the Wimbledon thing is totally a Johnny Carson reference. Just like, it's summer, I'm going to Wimbledon.
And here's what I wanted to know from you guys, because, again, I'm usually drinking during these shows and forget everything. Record like 900 podcasts a week. Mm-hmm. But is this the first time Dolph, Kearney, and Jimbo are named explicitly?
No, I think Bart does name them in the
Telltale Head.
Telltale Head. I think,
he
at least says Jimbo. Like, Jimbo has
said.
Jones.
Jimbo has said, but Kearney and Dolph, I don't think have ever been said before.
Yeah, you might
do we get to see Krusty?
He will be along eventually. In the meantime, our counselors, Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney, will be happy to handle any problems you may have.
Again, one of the last appearances of Wendell.
Yeah.
I think they're also made much bigger than they usually are to just tower over the children.
That's why I wanted to make the reference, because, like, I was a camp counselor for someone in my, like, in my class.
Yeah.
In middle school.
But this is when it was made, like, they become the true trio of monstrous bullies.
But can you, I just want to harp on the story I hit upon earlier. Can you imagine, like, you having a crush on a girl in your class, and then that summer you are an authority figure?
Yeah, it's like older children take care of children who are also children.
I got my dick touched for the first time.
Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney were baptized into bullydom. I think they were just bad kids before, but now they're like, and Nelson is kind of with them sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes he'll team up with them, but they are
he's
separate.
He's not seen with them even in this episode, but he is a counselor.
Well, because Nelson is slightly younger than them.
Yeah,
like, so
at least shorter.
And shorter.
Kearney is like 30, I think. He was there for the bicentennial.
Here's another dumb thing I got, because this is the second time, and I just realized that TS.
Oh, yeah.
Tough shit. Like, I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah,
That's not a popular colloquialism for where I'm from.
My mom
TS
would say
for tough shit.
Titties, but not
same
tough
here,
shit.
Tough titty.
Homer definitely. Yeah, my mom too. What the fuck? like, Homer definitely said an abbreviation for tough shit.
Yeah.
And
that was in the Three Men in a Comic Book.
So does Kearney.
Here's your cabin. If you don't like it,
I don't know why I got so much chicken in there, but
I also loved his line at the kayak. He's like, "Ain't getting any safer."
And I look at these old episodes now of like, why was this show so controversial? And I know there's a shitload of time in between them, but I think like you and I didn't. TS was probably a term our parents used.
Yeah,
and like they caught up. They caught on how subversive Simpsons was. Because we didn't get the references.
Mm. I think at one point, though, Jimbo, Dolph, Kearney, and Mr. Black are smoking cigars and drinking wine.
Yeah,
so
evil.
That's a little controversial for children to be, like, taking part of that with Mr. Black.
That felt like a very Pinocchio-type moment.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, the kids doing it. The bad kids doing it in Pinocchio.
I
want to
hug you.
So the Camp Krusty song, they had to expand it to fit time. That's one of their examples of how it was too short of an episode, so they expanded the song. And then that song got really expanded on the horrendous Simpsons Yellow album.
That album is awful.
Did it?
We've talked about it before.
You remember it. It was on the episode. Like, they say,
no,
like,
it just established that I never remember it.
And then they say things. They go like, they sing the Camp Krusty song. And then Bart goes, yeah, Camp Krusty. Now, Otto, do a guitar solo.
It's a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
It's fucking shit.
I love this song. I love when they sing the copyright information at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
And I also, you don't see that medic woman any other time, but just her like scratching the lighting the cigarette on the guy's cast and then blowing smoke.
That really should have been Lunch Lady Doris. I feel like they could have used her in that.
She
in that
needed
scene.
A summer job.
Yeah,
you know this. I just wanted to go over the Krusty seal of approval is something I feel like is established here, and it's lightly brought back here.
It's like
and
a
there.
Nintendo seal of approval.
Well, I think. We didn't mention the wrap-up episode, which is on available for our Patreon members. We did a Season 3 wrap-up episode. That a couple magazines had came out for The Simpsons. Simpsons Illustrated.
Oh, yeah.
The Simpsons Magazine. And it blurs the line. Like, they gave that those magazines gave me more canon than the show did. And the Krusty Seal of Approval is definitely a joke that exists way more in the comics and the magazines and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it was also, I've said this before, but it was also in the comics where they said that Mr. Bouvier died on a roller coaster.
That's true, yeah.
Though that's not canonical.
The first reference to the Krusty Seal of Approval.
This is a little more rustic than I expected. I'm not worried, Leash. You know why? Because of this. Krusty brand seal of approval. You can only find it on products which meet the high personal standards of Krusty the Clown.
Ow! Oops, I should have warned you. That clock gets incredibly hot if you leave it plugged in.
If you leave it plugged in, like, what else would you do with a clock?
But the point is Camp Krusty is a nightmare. We're going long
it's
here.
It's an abandoned mule tannery.
Abandoned mule tannery.
Well, meanwhile, Homer is, like, doing it up with Marge every day. Like, he's losing weight, getting back his hair. He's so happy to not... It's really Bart. I think he wouldn't... If Lisa was there, he still would...
You think he would lay dick to Marge just as much
in the shower.
Was there.
No, I mean... And I love the joke about the fireworks. Like,
did they do that joke again? I swear to God, they did it again at some point. Maybe the summer of 442?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I
remember him like actually packing the fireworks after that line in a later episode.
Oh, yeah.
Marge explains the situation a little in her letter to Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Dear kids, I hope this letter finds you well. We are doing great. Your father is in the best shape he's been since, well, ever.
One-arm push-ups.
Dice. Strength. Agility.
We miss you terribly. I hope these jelly bean cookies will tide you over until you get home.
Hey, Simpson, tell your mom her cookies sucked.
Jelly bean cookies sound disgusting.
They sound pretty gross to me. I don't like jelly beans, though.
And Lisa's acting in the letter, or Yardley Smith's acting in the letter reading is really good, too. Like, save us now!
Dear Mom and Dad, I no longer fear hell because I've been to Camp Krusty.
Our nature hikes have become grim death marches.
Jesus.
Our arts and crafts center is, in actuality, a Dickensian workhouse.
Come on, wimps. These Gucci walls have to be on the streets of Hong Kong by Friday.
Bart makes it through the days relying on his unwavering belief that Krusty the Clown will come through.
Krusty is coming. Krusty is coming. Krusty's coming.
But I am far more pessimistic. I am not sure if this letter will reach you as our lines of communication have been cut.
Giddy up.
Now the effort of writing has made me lightheaded, so I close by saying, save us! Save us now! Bart and Lisa.
kids' letters from camp.
Oh, she complains now, but when we go to pick her up, she won't want to leave.
God, I love Lisa sneaking that letter out to the guy on the horse. He takes like a nip of whiskey before going off, and she's like, wrapped in a blanket, and the wind is whipping.
There was a great comment on the Leisure Time Facebook group talking about the differences between Simpsons and Futurama and a couple of other shows, and about how most of the early seasons of The Simpsons are making not references to things that are tangential references to things that are just now popular, which the show is guilty of, but a lot of other shows are guilty of that too. Like not of like the Meet the Spartans level of like we're making fun of a trailer.
The Britney Spears head shaving will always be relevant.
Yeah,
and we'll specifically say what we're talking about. But they'll say, "Oh, remember when Britney Spears shaved her head? That's what that was."
I would not get half the references in this montage had I not one just watched the original Ben Hur. I love Ben Hur has come out and just like one of the. Who'd have guessed it's the biggest bomb ever? I feel like someone should pay me to tell how... Why would you remake Ben-Hur? Are you idiots?
I went to the movies recently and I saw that playing and I'm like, what? They did this?
Who?
The,
why?
The spectacle is a divorce from the 60s. Yeah. You can't do this
what
anymore.
What the fuck? And then like, there's a...
you want to see horses?
There's a free game on Xbox One based on Ben-Hur. And it's like, and we have to watch these like production behind the scenes. We did this all practically in camera. Yeah, so did Charlton Heston for a lot less money.
So many horses died.
And it looks amazing to this day. And like, and it's a five-hour movie. You don't need to remake this, but I did not know that the other reference, Lisa handing the whiskey to the guy, is a very specific reference to...
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it's a very specific reference to Meryl Streep and the French lieutenant's woman.
That's right, the French lieutenant's woman. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this movie.
It was on the tip...
I had to scour for like, fuck is this?
I only know it's from that because I read it's from that. I've never seen that film either, but
never even heard of the film.
It was on the tip of my tongue which movie it was, but I didn't want to say French Lieutenant's Woman in case I was wrong and got comment corrected.
That sounds like a Simpsons joke about a movie Homer wouldn't want to see.
Yes, exactly.
It does sound like we'd be playing next to Look Who's Only
It's game. A 1981 movie starring Meryl Streep, and I think if you're praising Lisa's performance, we don't know she's doing an impression of Meryl Streep, essentially.
So the kids are destroyed, but they finally are going to get to see
meet
Krusty.
The real Krusty.
Wait, I have one thing to add before
Please,
this. There's one line that always bothered me, and it is the act break for Act 2 between 2 and 3. And
oh, it's shitty.
They're holding on to like beams as like a storm whips through their cabin. Yeah. And Bart says, an obviously replaced joke. I don't know what the original joke was, but he says, "Lisa, I've been thinking it over. Next summer, I'm getting a job." I want to know what that original line was because there's no sound effects behind Bart. It's a very rushed line delivery, and his mouth movements do not match up. It's a very weak act
that
break.
Funny.
Not
like,
really,
so
no.
I didn't get
it. What was the worst thing they felt needed to be replaced?
I really want to know because it just kind of is weak and doesn't land
And
right.
I'm complimenting this episode because it's the tightest. It has the most jokes of any Simpsons show
like,
I've seen up until this
I wrote
point.
Down the like middle chunk of this episode is just like a montage of good things happening
Tons
to Marge and Homer, bad things happening to Bart and Lisa. Like just nonstop little sketches about like... Yeah. Life at home and at camp.
Homer getting in the shower with Marge is pretty spicy.
Yeah.
And
good animation, too.
Again, all of this is great. All our clips are long and numerous. And, of course, Bart finally gets to meet the real Krusty, hopefully.
After the revolt.
Ray of Sunshine.
Now, I must tell you, kids, Krusty has laryngitis on a bad back, so he won't be saying anything or doing anything.
Krusty looks fat.
He's really having trouble keeping his balance.
He's still funny, but not ha-ha funny.
That's
not
Ralph.
Krusty the Clown?
What do you think? I slapped a clown suit on some wino?
Bart. I am so Crunchy the Clown.
All right, that's it. I've been scorched by Krusty before. I got a rapid heartbeat from those Krusty brand vitamins. My Krusty calculator didn't have a 7 or an 8. And Krusty's autobiography was self-serving with many glaring omissions. But this time, he's gone too far. We want Krusty! We want Krusty! We want Krusty!
No, we want Krusty! We want Krusty!
I thought you said you broke their spirits.
We did.
You broke nothing.
I love Mr. Black's. He won't be saying anything or
doing
anything.
Oh, you kept the best line. To the hydrofoil.
To the hydrofoil. But that's the thing. Every single line, every single second is amazing.
So did you notice when Lisa was handing out the packages to people, she says Wiggum and hands it to Ralph.
Yes.
Ralph would not officially be Ralph Wiggum until the Valentine's Day episode.
It does not look like Ralph.
But it is Ralph's voice, and he has his hair. Well, like it's a very...
Krusty! My brownies! Wiggum!
A change of underwear!
Crandall!
My insulin!
So someone named Crandall is diabetic. We also missed the final appearance of Sadruddin Mahabharata.
What?
Yeah.
The yoga guy.
The unsinkable
Sadruddin Mahabharata. Mr. Byrne references his book in that episode, I think it was Blood Feud. And then this episode, we see him doing the yoga show.
Yeah.
Well, piece of a spirit.
And this is just a quick line. I loved it. Krusty being... He has to leave being knighted to attend to the camp.
That's right, yeah.
Dub thee, sir.
Urgent call for Mr. Clown.
This better be important. Oi, Galalt!
Love Krusty still being Jewish.
It's strange that actors get knighted. Like, what did Krusty do to earn this privilege, this honor?
Local kid show clown. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's a surrogate for any kind of celebrity.
Also, I can't, you know, we don't live in a British Commonwealth or in England, but...
Speak for yourself.
I don't feel like the queen looks too young. I don't know. She doesn't look... I mean, she looked old. She looked younger than Scott Thompson did dressed as her.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Drugs approved.
Well, because when I think of 1992 queen, I think of Scott Thompson.
It's your go-to queen, yeah.
Yeah.
They say. God, I love Scott Thompson.
Good old Buddy Cole. Him and Buddy Cole are the same person.
Again, I'm watching this episode, capturing clips, ready to talk about it with you guys. And I'm like, surely this is petering to an end. And then Kent Brockman shows up and is just fucking awesome.
Yes.
And more great Brockman.
I say that with no hyperbole.
Spartacus has taken this camp by force. Three counselors are missing and presumed scared. I'm being told I can have an exclusive interview with the ringleader.
Don't be the boy. Don't be the boy.
No!
I just want the whole world to know that this was a really crappy camp. Can I say crappy on TV?
Yes, on this network you can.
Fox.
Another Fox slam.
So Martin was being ribald, no doubt, on the same night.
Yeah, and also them walking by that pig's head on a pike, like, that's pretty, whoa.
I
know
about
it feels like a Lord of the Flies reference.
We mentioned this
Apocalypse Now.
No, there's a ton of Lord of the Flies references.
Yeah.
This episode in particular is, like, flush with references.
Speaking of Lord of the Flies, the Lord of the Flies episode they had... It was one of my lesser favorite ones.
Das Bus?
Yeah, Das Bus.
Yeah.
Just like, I hate it. Just became a kid show of just like all the kids all the time.
It was very Rugrats-y.
And yeah, and then at the end when they're just like, shrug, we don't have to write an ending. They're like, fuck you, we don't gotta write an ending.
There is one pop culture reference I did catch this time. It was Crunchy punching out Krusty punching out a photographer.
Yes,
like Sean Penn.
Yeah, Sean Penn,
like
around this
maybe
time.
5 years earlier,
for photographing
like
him and his then wife Madonna.
And the joke about Princess died than just friends. Like, ooh boy, that
death stuck.
Wait 5 years. Yes. Put on your seatbelts, kids.
Who would have thought then that the queen would outlive her by 20 years?
Even the queen mother.
And the queen mother, too. So then when they rip off Krusty's shirt, those things are still always there. Well, not always
longhorn.
There. So, the cattle skull birthmark is not always drawn, but I think they do always get the pacemaker scar and the superfluous nipple, which I think is specifically a reference to the James Bond film Man with a Golden Gun, because he is in Man with a Golden Gun, which is a good little Bond film. it's where Christopher Lee is the villain. Christopher Lee is awesome as a villain. And he's the man with the golden gun, Scaramanga, and they don't know what he looks like because he kills everybody who sees him. And so to find him, he has a third nipple, and so they go looking for a man with a third nipple.
Oh, wow, I had no idea.
Shout out to my buddy Melendez, who's got extra nipples. Wow.
And Roger Moore actually wears a fake third nipple to pretend to be Scaramanga at a point in the film, too.
The final defining quality of Krusty, the fact that he's not wearing makeup, will come about in this season with Homer Triple Bypass. So.
And he always does have makeup on all the time anyway. And the pacemaker scar, though, I mean, it is a fact he's had a pacemaker.
It's your rare Simpsons canon.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this in the Patreon exclusive season 3 wrap up, which we put up last week, patreon.com/lasertime. First season's also there.
That's a whole hour, Chris.
I know. Wasn't it fun?
I love
that. Escape from Camp Deadly, which was made me work my ass off to get a Game Boy. I always thought these things came in tandem, but it was like a year in advance. Like, that. There's an entire. One of the first Simpsons games involved a camp scenario.
Camp Deadly was 91. This is 92.
So.
I mean, it's obvious to send the kids to camp for, you know, levels and stuff. Like,
but maybe,
it makes sense as a game pitch.
Maybe because of the nature of when this episode was produced, the game was sort of pitched at the same time
It could have been pitched at the same time. It's possible. The game production isn't short. I mean, even
for Game Boy, it was.
Even back then for Game Boy, it still couldn't have been less. I couldn't imagine it'd be less than 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even The Simpsons at this point was like 9 months of production.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, so They then apologize. Bart has a great line about, "I never put my name on an inferior product."
I don't have and, that one. I just the very end of the
that's my line of the show.
Speaking of Camp Deadly,
so this ending we talk about. Well, actually, I just made fun of The Simpsons for having the FU ending of, "Yeah, maybe it's Mo. Let's say Mo." This ending is just like
it's the same thing.
Okay, let's get to the end. They go to Tijuana. Boom, it's the end.
It is a fuck you. We need to get out of this episode as fast as possible.
That's why I feel
like
this was meant to be the season finale for season three, because of the summer angle and this final scene of like this final scene of just like stills from Tijuana.
It's a beautiful ending.
It feels like it could have wrapped up the season very neatly in season three.
These crusty lines are so
yes.
Krusty, this camp was a nightmare. They fed us gruel. They forced us to make wallets for export, and one of the campers was eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God!
Well, actually, the bear just ate his hat.
Was it a nice hat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God! Well, I'm gonna make it all up to you. I'm gonna show you kids the time of your life. Get ready for 2 weeks at the happiest place on Earth, Tijuana!
This, I thought, was bullshit because I Google, like, everything. I don't know exactly what it is from
Tijuana. Tijuana is not the happiest place on Earth.
But it they close out with the song South of the Border.
I looked this up, too, yeah.
A non-Frank Sinatra cover.
Dude, I didn't do that. I just went through fucking YouTube looking at, like, Harry Belafonte, Perry Como, Frank Sinatra, Chris Isaac, fucking Harry Connick Jr., South of the Border. Like, none of these are the songs. And I finally, like, look up the wiki and, like, oh, it's a sound-alike. They hired someone who sounded like Frank Sinatra to make one that sounded like Frank Sinatra's version.
The Frank Sinatra version was the most popular, though it originated in the South of the Border originated in a 1939 film of the same name, sung by Gene Autry.
Oh, yes. And, the cowboy singer?
Yeah, and okay. I watched official Gene Autry YouTube page.
One of his great grandparents must be making bank off
one
that.
Of 30 hits on that video. It
says like 4,000, I think. But
I don't want to disrespect Gene Autry. I did the same thing, Henry. I watched like 3 Gene Autry versions, assuming this would be the right one, and like that The Simpsons made this song just for this episode.
Yeah, but his version's much slower. This is the swinging version.
This is the
South
Sinatra
the border,
version.
Yeah.
But because, again, they blew their money on Alice Cooper.
I think they did,
Okay, well, so, Bob, we're at the end of the episode, but we talked about it some on the special one, but we should talk about the end of the Klasky Csupo era this episode.
This is the final Klasky Csupo episode, and essentially they just moved the machinery from one studio to the next. Mm. And really, based on Gabor Chupo's comments in the unauthorized Simpson oral history, it was basically, just to lay it out, he felt disrespected from the first minute because of that disastrous first episode that they delivered. And they should have been guilty of something in that, not delivering what
they were pioneering something. It's true. Yeah. Like, it was uncharted territory for everybody.
Yeah, if we haven't reiterated that enough, there was no television animation on this level being done at all.
All they knew was the Flintstones
on Saturday morning cartoons, which, again, the standards for writing and animation were not that high.
But after that, they felt like second-class citizens, and the major problem was that the writers, not knowing how the animation process worked, would request changes after the color animation had come back. Like, they would take so much money and time to fix things, to change things.
Pencilers, inkers, layouts, idiots. Like,
everyone needed to be involved, and they were like, we cannot get changes this late. And so they pushed back too much, and the Simpsons were like, Gracie Films was like, okay, either you stop pushing back or we get rid of you. And they're like, fine, we can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's when they moved the film Roman. And when they moved the film Roman, the animators did get more rights. They did get the ability to say, this is too late to ask for changes. You need to ask for changes much earlier than this. So I feel like it was partially Klasky Csupo fucking up on that first episode, and partially Gracie Films not understanding how the animation works.
Yeah.
I think the overall animation improved. Like, 4, 5, and 6 is better animation than 1, 2, and 3.
That's for sure, and season 4 starts off a little rough with some funky-looking Homers. I think of Homer eating the moon waffle with his head, like, shooting backwards at a 45-degree angle.
I love how wacky it looks.
It looks really weird. They took some time to get used to the animation, but I feel like it was a pretty graceful move from one studio to the next.
But I also think of, like, another really off-model Homer we'll see is in the Itchy and Scratchy the movie, where like Homer is just like, his head's too long or he's like too fat in it. Like, it's all over the place, but
I do love the giant pupils of the early film Roman stuff. Prove me wrong, kids, but prove me wrong. Matt Groening
hates those pupils. Man, can't stand them.
He thinks they're high, but I think they're just so more they're more expressive. I love anime, by the way, so take that as you will.
But that is that it for the episode?
I think so.
Yeah.
Let
me just plug again the Patreon wrap-up for season three that we did. Patreon.com/lasertime is how the show happened. People financed the show into existence. The first season, the first 13 episodes of Talking Simpsons are exclusively home there. And man, that Oprah stuff. If you haven't seen it, it's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/lasertime, or our Facebook if it's not permitted on YouTube.
Animation you've never seen before, and like a second of Sesame Street animation that you probably haven't seen before either.
It is beautiful stuff. And yeah, then the whole first season is on there, $5 a month. It's all great. But Bob should do... Let's hear about Bob.
I'll tell you who I am. I'm Bob Mackey, by the way. You can find me on Twitter. Exactly. I don't hear that sound effect ever, Chris, and you're delaying. But
my computer's
where
all
is
broke.
It? Okay, fine. Well, you can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also do the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts. Find it every Monday at retronauts.com or usgamer.net. And I also write for somethingawful.com every other Thursday. Mm-hmm. So go there for your comedy needs.
I'm HENEREYG on Twitter, and I write for fandom.wikia.com, where I write about video games. I'm the senior games editor there, but I'm also still part of the LaserTime family. I did a comic book podcast. You can go back and listen to the archives on that, and I did one for Comic-Con. I'm still part of the LaserTime family, and I also just had a little clip on the most recent Patreon-exclusive wrestling podcast, Cheap Popcast.
That's true, and LaserTimePodcast.com is all I'll plug. I did want to say to you, Bob... in researching, I hate you and Jeremy Parrish sometimes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Almost every time I'm like, I'm going to research something no one's ever done or talked about before. And then I get to the wiki and it's like, Bob Mackey said in a thorough review of Escape from Camp Deadly.
I own the Day the Tentacle Wikipedia page, by the way.
Really?
Every citation is me. That's great. So I'm proud of that.
Every time I search for something obscure that I think no one's ever done before, you and Jeremy have generally done it at usgamer.net.
That's my job. I'm a little stinker, by the way.
Yeah. You are a little stinker.
So that's it for us this week, folks. We'll see you next week when Marge encounters Tennessee Williams. See you then.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico way. Yeah, she was a picture in old Spanish lace, and just for a tender while I kissed a smile upon her face. For it was fiesta and we were so gay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Mission bells told me that I must not stray south of the border, down Mexico way.